Today's daf is daf Mem Gimel. So the Gemara now says, "Nitchavu kelav v'beit ha'uman." Let's say you give your kli to a particular craftsman to repair, and what was returned is something else. So the Gemara says, "Yishmesh ben v'yatzem v'kesher shelo." You can use it in the meantime, but obviously you should try and get yours back. Now, its question is, why can you even use it? Because we'll compare to the next case, beit ha'avel. If you happen to be at a mourner's house or Beit HaMikdash, we come back from the chasana with somebody else's jacket, al yishtamesh bem, you cannot use it, el yetzem v'kesher shelo, you've got to find the owner, right? And make the switch. So what's the difference? Now what's interesting here, the Mara Fulda, he quotes the Gemara in Bava Batra that says that in the name of, I'll show you here, it just says, Breita huvah bavli beperek cheskat batin. It says, Umafarish hatam b'shem rebchia v'chi ein adam asui lomar le'uma machor li'klei. In other words, it sounds like the understanding is that sometimes what would happen is they would give it to a craftsman, you repair it and you can sell it for me. And what happens is he ended up giving the wrong one out and gave him one. Instead, he returned to the other person the one that was meant to be sold. So since it's meant to be sold anyway, that's why you can kind of use it. That's why the bubbly kind of explained the situation. Yeah, it says, Vata uman natan lo kelav shel Reuven, shenatan lo gam ken letakno. Lefichah yishtamesh bahem, you can use sharei Reuven gam ken yishmeh b'ma'ot, or bekelav itzel Shimon ad shechzorot shelo. So that's why you could use it. However, what's interesting here is, I'm not sure if Yerushalmi says the same thing. Because if you have a look, the Gemara says, Amar Reba bar Chana, lo hava Reb Chiya chavivi patala, sorry, yeah, sorry, la patala, ela kagon hadin bar kora. In other words, he says it doesn't always apply if you give it to a craftsman to fix your item that you can have this thing that if you return somebody else's, you can use it. That's not always the case. Only a particular scenario for this person called bar kora. Shekola notel metzlo, notel bereshut. V'kol ha-maniach etzlo, maniach bereshut. That it seems to be that when they used to give him items, it was understanding that they'll give it to him with a full understanding he can do what he likes with it. Now, why would that be the case? I'm not sure, but I'll just read the Mara Fulda. He says, "Lasobe," and therefore there's no gezel. And although people understanding, I don't know, maybe this guy was really good, and of whatever reason, and but they will understand. I'll give it to him, and he might give you somebody else's back. And when you gave it to him, you sort of pretty much was under full understanding, everyone was that, that he might do, he can pretty much do what he likes with it. And that's why when you return somebody else's, okay, fine, then I can use it because the person it belonged to gave it over with understanding that somebody else might receive it and therefore he can use it however he likes. Okay, that seems, in other words, a very interesting scenario. So I think the article on the footnote says it sort of peels this back. He quotes some of the peels this back to the bubbly, where lots of people used to give it to him in order to sell it. So they're very happy in terms of, you can do what he likes with it as long as I can finally get a sale. Okay, that's the type of thing. But again, it seems to be in a very, very, at least according to Yerushalmi, a very unique scenario. But in general, if you get from back from a craft, it sounds like Yerushalmi, you cannot use it if it's not yours. You take it back to the store, say it's not mine, and you can't use it in the meantime. Okay, let's continue. This is an interesting one. So we know the case of Baba Machteret. From actually, we haven't learned it together in Shalmi, but I'm sure you're familiar. Baba Machteret is someone who tunnels in at nighttime. And the understanding is the Baba Machteret, that the person knows when he comes, he tunnels into someone's house. He's fully aware that the Baal HaBayit's going to stand by his items and he's going to defend his house and his fort. So therefore, the person who's coming in, if he knows he's going to face someone who's willing to do anything, he's willing to kill. So has a din of a rodef generally. That's the understanding of Baba Machteret has a din of a rodef. And if he's in din of rodef, he's mitchai benafsho. Mitzvah Hashem, when we get to the we didn't do it. Did we do? I don't think we did Bamachter yet. No, it was Max. We'll get to that later. Sorry. So therefore, if you remember that if someone's mitchai benafsho, you can't get two different punishments at the same time. So you can't be chayv to pay. So what it's saying is that once he's Bama Machteret, he's effectively cornered that kli. So Mikra didn't have to pay for it because he was Mechayiv enough, so we can't Mechayiv him two different things. Okay. However, if he does tshuva, Chayiv lachzir, he should still return it, let's say, to Shemayim, meaning they're still accounting Shemayim. It's not like that it's a faithful acquisition because you risked your life to get it. No, absolutely not. It is. It's just Midi Adam, we can't Mechayiv him two punishments. And by the way, as we said, doesn't have to be, if mitchai benafsho, we learned this part in the past, it doesn't have to be that the Beit Din gave him found him guilty of a capital offense. No, it has to be that what he was doing was a capital offense, and therefore you come at the time he's patur from any mamonas associated things that happened to occur at the same time. So bin shamayim, if you like, in this world we can't mechayivin. But if he does tshuva and feels really bad, well, we're saying minin shamayim, he's still got an account to settle here. You got to return it to him minin shamayim. So that's why it's saying chayim lachzir. Asa nechem, what happens if it was a whole group of people? Asa achad mehem tshuva. He said, achad mehem, sorry, say, asa achad mehem tshuva chay lachzir tshalo. Sorry, let's go back. So in other words, one of them does tshuva, has to return what was his. Ve'im, what if it was a group and only one of the guys tunneled in? And he was feeding it out to all his partners. It was the smallest guy in the group who could fit through the tunnel, whatever it is. And he was feeding it out. In that situation, despite the fact they shared the spoils, if you like, of this whole venture or this crime, nonetheless, we say that no, he is mechayev al kulam. He's chayev to pay it all back because he's effectively the one that took it all out. That's a simple understanding. And they, it's actually interesting here, hen kanu b'shin reishut. They were kind of b'shin reishut. Whether they were considered mechayev b'nafsho, it doesn't sound like it, right? Because so therefore, unless they all tunneled in with him, again, that the finer details here is a little bit more difficult to understand. But in any event, the simple understanding is he took it out. He's mechayev. He is now mechayev like mikradin to give it back, despite the fact he shared the spoils. Who cares if he was a shaliach to do it for everybody and shaliach davar aveira? Okay, so therefore he's responsible now. Hagabayim v'amuchzim, tshuvatam kasher. We talked about tax collectors in the past. We're not talking about your general tax collector. I always get a bit annoyed when people, when there's this minhag. I never had it in Australia, but there's seems to be minhag here around, maybe more Anglo communities, things like that, where when they say mass in when they do Migla Esther, people go boo, right? And one of the things. If it's taxes and you have to pay taxes, it's a law of the land. That's what we have to do. What's this booing taxes? I never understood it. I really didn't understand it. However, so therefore, it's same thing in our sugya. If like, what does it mean gabayim amuchsim? We're talking about non-legal ones. Meaning, the way I kind of frame it in my head, it's like, mafia protection money people, right? That's not a legislated proper tax system. This guy's taking, might take more from one person than the next or something like that. We're talking about dodgy tax collectors, okay? Or maybe he is authorized by the king, but he's doing it in a dodgy way, whatever it is. But the point is, when we're talking about gabayim amuchsim, these tax types of tax, like we're talking about people that are not doing it just and effectively. What they're doing is stealing, meaning they're collectors. Fine. It says, again, I'm not sure if you have this, it's in the Ozvahadar in brackets, so it must have inserted it. But their tshuva is very difficult. Right? Harehin machzirim lamishu. Because the reason is that they've stolen from so many different people. It's going to be very hard to do the full tshuva. The full tshuva requires you to return to every single person. That's tshuvatan kasher. So therefore, if they can work out what they took from each person, somehow he kept a ledger of all his crimes, very difficult, but sometimes they do, then fine. Then he wants to do tshuva, he returns what he took from each person to the rightful owners. What you do with the rest of your spoils, if you like. In that situation, when someone wants to do tshuva and they just don't have the capacity in order to do so because they don't know what they did, then what you can try and do is you just do tzorchei tzibur. I think we discussed this in the past. I mean, the hope is that the people that you stole from will end up benefiting from it and somehow be compensated. That's like the best, kind of not the best, but the most you can do in that situation. Okay. I think that's one understanding what you're achieving by doing tzorchei tzibur. Let's continue. Tanya hagozel ma'achil banav. Let's say we saw this in the Mishnah, and I said we need to get back to this because the Mishnah says hagozel ma'achil banav umeach lifnehem p'tur meshalem. If the man steals and gives it to his children and they consume it, or he leaves it before them, they're exempt from paying. Now we've got a brighter here. Why, if it's left before them, they're exempt from paying? Because then it said later on, and I didn't really explain that minich lefnehem, but if you have a look here, it says Tanya gozel lemachle banav, bein ktanim, then p'tur meshalem. However, here we say he niach lefnehem if it's in front of them, bein dolim, bein ktanim, chayvim leshalem. If it's left, if it's still in front of them, then they have to pay. Now that makes a lot of sense now, because why wouldn't they have to pay? It's there. Havasumchu says umer gdolim chayvim ktanim p'turim. If we're talking about adult children, adult heirs for sure, the chayvim leshalem. Ktanim not. Why not ktanim? Because ktanim are not b'nei mi'avadinuhu, the way the Maharal explains it. Meaning, you can't take a katan to court. That's step number one. Step number two, point number two, I should say, is in order to go into someone else's property and take something out of it, you can't just walk in haphazardly. It has to be through court instruction. So therefore, since you can't take these kids to court, you don't have the authority to go into their estate and take their property. Well, even though it's the person, even if it was stolen property. So therefore, it's because according to Sumchus, you have to wait really until they become adult enough, and then you can take them to court and collect the stolen item from the estate. That's Mishnah of Sumchus. Chachamim obviously disagree, but that's what the debate is about. Okay. However, im amru. Now this is a sticky point. It says im amru einanu yodim im asav inu cheshbon b'achronai p'turim. If they say, look, we might have, we don't know if our father did some sort of already addressed this issue with you. Maybe he did. Then they're p'turim. So this is an interesting thing. Already counterclaim to exempt them because the Gemara says, "Hey, Tiv Rav Bar Bar Mamal." We're going to bring three kashas on this. First one is Agabatz Mashniach Levim Karka. What if it's something is karka? Karka is considered land. Is land. Now, land that is stolen is never considered as a transferred property. It's already considered. It's considered the property of the person it was belonged to from the beginning. You can't. There's no shinri shut really with land that's stolen, and therefore it's consistently in the property of the nigzal. It's not the property, it's in the cheskat ha-nigzal, let's call it that. So, and just simply them saying, oh, by the way, we don't know if dad came to an agreement with you, that's not enough to take it out of their chazaka that's already considered in the chazaka. So that doesn't work in the case of land. Next kasha, heti v'rav amnuna. Another point is, what if this thing that was stolen was known to everybody that was stolen? It was a big deal on the news or whatever. A claim that the owner would say, look, we don't know if dad dealt with this. That's not enough to exempt them from returning it. Next kasha, hey, Tiv Rav Sheshet. So this point is as follows. If you remember, let's go back to the debate we saw in the Braita. Chachamim and Sumchus debate whether the ketanim are, if you like, chayv or not. Right? Sumchus says they're not bar dina. They're not the coming to court. No, you can come and collect it from the ketanim. However, we know according to ketanim that the Beit Din can make a claim for them that's in their favor. Okay, meaning they're not educated, they know what to do. So therefore, the Beit Din can make a claim for them even if they don't have the claim themselves in their favor. Okay, if that's the case, and this claim of saying, look, we don't know if father dealt with you or not is a good claim. Then they would always make the claim for a katan, and the chachamim should also agree that you'd never collect it from katanim. Okay, so therefore, it doesn't seem to be a good enough claim on three counts: one for land, secondly if it's mufursam, and third one, the whole debate between sumchus and chachamim doesn't make sense if you can say it's a good enough claim. So Gemara says no tiftar, which is hein ein anu yodim the v'chulei. Here is masha asavinu imo cheshbon rachorna. However, yadin ananda asakavinu imcha aladin cheshbon avleid ananda manafke mandina. In other words. It's not that they're not just throwing something hypothetical in the ad, maybe dad dealt with you. But no, they're saying something else. They're saying, now we know that you confronted our father and you were in negotiations with him. We just don't know how it ended. That's when they can potentially keep it because there's grounds, if you like, to say that maybe this thing was actually dealt with. That's when you can, that, and that's the, if you like, that's when they're saying that if. Again, if they claim that's when if they could be p'turim. And by the way, I think that's how you also understand the Mishnah, because in our Mishnah we said if it's still in front of them p'turim. When and but in the Braita said the chayvim, the debate's only regarding the ketanim. So when do we say our Mishnah must be again where the children said, look, we know you were in negotiation with father regarding that which was stolen. We just don't know how the negotiations ended. That's when that's a good enough claim to say p'turim. Okay, that's the flow of the Gemara. Yafit. Natzlan halacha bet. The Gemara, the Mishnah says, "Natul muhsin et chamorov v'natanu chamor acher." What if these again these dodgy tax collectors, if you like, came and took his donkey from him, but returned him another one, even some par. Natlu alistim ksuto, or if thieves come and take a like a scary highway robbers, right? They took his garment and gave him a different one at Natlachar. Hare elu shlo, you can keep it. Why mibnei shabal mityashim? Because generally in these situations, when this tax collector takes it, or these roadside bandits end up stealing from the person doesn't ever have any anticipation of getting it back again. These people are too powerful. So therefore, if they give you an item, even if they may have stolen from somebody else, there's a yush and you can keep it. The person gave up the thing. Now, Amatzil miyada nahar. What if there's an overflowing river? Or miyada listim, or from, or again, thieves. Im nityashua baalim, if the baalim, the owners, had given up hope, right? In other words, here, the Gemara for this, if you hear them shemin and the mayayish, they say, oh, you vay the chisaron kis, right? It says, woe to this chisaron kis, well, I've lost a fortune as a result. Aval stamalo. And the interesting here, it says, and that's it. Then only then it's a reish shalom. But if you continue the mafulda, he says, "Vakashid listen to my sefer listen." But we'd mentioned in the reish we said listening in astam. It's what is miayish, and here we're saying, well, if you hear it, miayish, and it says, "No charev nistin, no chem chari Israel the miayish stama." You know, there's a difference between what type of listing there are. But again, that's a discussion in the bavli. Now, v'chenachil nechil, sorry, shel dvorim. That's a swarm of bees. Im yachu abalim, and it seems to go to somebody else's field, and the guy thinks, "Oh my gosh, I'll never get these bees back." Then we say, Harayol Shiloh, they're his. Okay. Now, Amar of Yochanan Bruka, Ne'emenet Isha or Katan Lomar Michan Yatzan Michilzeh. Now, the problem is sometimes swarms, I mean, it could be lots of swarms in the region, but it says that Isha and Katana, who are not normally believed when it comes to, now we saw this back in Ketubah not so long ago, that they're believed in this situation, say, oh, that swarm, that came from that property. So it can be returned, if you like, somehow to the owners. When the person go into the field, and he can come and retrieve his swarm. However, but if he caused any damage when he's there, well, you have the right to take the swarm, but you don't have the right to damage the other person's property. So, what if they sort of nested or they sat on some sort of a branch? You're not allowed to cut that branch, even if on the condition I'm going to pay you back. You know, they do this damage on the payback. So again, how would they retrieve? I'm not sure how we did make big nets. I have no idea. But you can't cause any damage to the other property when trying to retrieve it back. Even Almanat, even on the condition, don't worry. He goes in and cuts it. So I'm going to pay him back anyway. I should be allowed to. No, you still cannot. However, Rabbi Shmuel ben Benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka says no. Kotzetz v'noten dami. He can do so. Now that's interesting because you think normally I can't break someone's window and say, don't worry, I'm going to pay him back. You know, that caused damage. So what's the svara of Rabbi Shmuel Benosha Rabbi Yochanan ben Bruka? We'll get to that when we get to the Gemara. That's the Mishnah. Let's look at the Gemara now. Natlo muksin says Tani yetzil min hagayis min hadleika. If someone saves from this, a this hagayis is like a soldiers that come through a town, if you like, or a fire. Mishnunit hayam, or a tidal wave that came like a tsunami type of thing. And mishlulit hanar elu shelo, because all the situations we assume that the Baalim, it's a strong assumption, the Baalim gave up hope. But then Nefil shel Dvorim also says im nityashu, the Baalim gave up hope harelu shelo. So far, not so different to what we saw. Chinabar Papa says b'shem Rav Yochanan, manita b'nichil shegazlu min ha'alacha. So the point here, when it comes to nichil shel dvorim, is that, and we saw this term slightly different in the Ketubot, is even if it goes in someone else's property, and you go and try and steal it, that is not considered gzeila min ha'Torah. It's only considered gzeila min ha'Rabbanan. Why? Because if something goes into somebody else's property, we can say his chatzer is koneh something from a hefker for sure. However, but since there's nothing trapping these bees there, right? They're not nishmar, if you like, from the chatzer. Min d'oraita, there's no kinyan in the chatzer. It's only gzeila chachamim say midrabanan, so people don't go into other people's fields stealing and steal things. So the raita there's no kinyan. It's not gzeila, but the rabana says gzeila. That's point number one. The second point is b'poreach. Poreach, we're talking about where the ketanim are trusted. Or the Isha is trusted to say that swarm came from that field. That's only when it's poreach, when it's still in flight. Why? If you remember, Reb Chaim says back in Ketubot, that is because if it's already rested, if you like, or resting in the new field, then that field has a chazaka, meaning, and you need a proper testimony to break the chazaka, even though it's, if you like, it's a drabanan, if you like. The Gemara says, "Ubilvad also alataras to be, if you like, immediate." Now, why is it immediate? Because we're scared that if it's a katan, maybe he was coerced into providing that testimony, or influenced, or isha as well. Aval im yatzav v'chazar ein omer ani omer again mipnei yirato pitui amru, as we just said, because we're concerned if it's after he's left and come back, we're concerned that he was intimidated into it or seduced into doing that type of thing, or she. Now, Tanya Rabbi Shmuel ben Yochanan ben Bruka Omer, Tnai Beit Din Hu Lakutz Zu Soch Ze Socha Socha sorry Socha I think it is Venoten Adamim Shalmanak Ken Nichli Yeshua Le Israel Israel. In other words, if you remember back in the Mishnah, we said that if In other words, you can go to the field and collect that swarm, but you can't, cut off the branch. That's Chachamim say, even if you want to pay him back. You can't do damage. That's a general thing. You can't, again, break someone's window and don't worry, I'll pay him back. However, Rabbi Yochanan, again, Rabbi Shmuel, ben Rabbi Yochanan, Rukas, is in this situation, you can. Why? Because once again, it's not, this is, if you like, this is the exception. Because Amana ken Yeshua Yisrael, because it was certain, there were certain terms in which Yeshua, we've seen examples of this in the past, where Yeshua says, I'm dividing out the land, but this is the conditions in which I'm dividing out the land. I mean, he instituted certain takanot, if you like, that everyone agreed to when they're mechalek the land in Eretz Yisrael, so the people could live happily amongst each other and we have a more civil society, if you like. That's why Yeshua did it. And one of those was this case that where you can go and, if you like, cut the branch from the person's field and obviously compensate him, but even before even like asking, without even having to ask permission. Okay, let's continue. This is now Halacha Gimel. Hamakir kelav or svara biad acher. Let's say someone recognizes his items that he claimed that it was stolen in the hands of another person. Im yatzal oshem gneiva beir, if it was already known that this was a stolen item, yishva, this other person who is in his position now, who says, I purchased it, makes a shvua how much he paid for it. Kamotzi, and the person gets it back. Again, Reuven sees his stolen item in the hands of Levi. We're gonna have to discuss in more detail when to get the Gemara. And it's known that this item was stolen. He goes to Levi, says, it's mine. Levi says, look, I bought it from such and such an individual. I paid 50 shekel for it. He makes a shvua, I paid 50 shekel for it. Reuven pays Levi that 50 shekel and he can get his, expensive watch back, whatever it is. Okay? We're discussing where to get the Gemara. Vim love, but if not, then, in other words, it doesn't, it sounds like it lo yatzash. In other words, it wasn't known to be stolen. You can't just go to individuals and say that, hey, that's mine, and give it back to me. Because you might have sold it. So there has to be a proper like a context in which we can like a history like a if you like a yeah, context in which it was known to be stolen. So exactly what that context is, we'll get to more fine in the Gemara. Let's do it now. In other words, really, minadin, the koneh, the person purchased, doesn't even have to make a shvua. He can simply say, I bought it for 50 shekel, and give me my 50 shekel, and you can have it back. Right? But lama amru yishva, why does he have to make a shvua at all? The problem is the reason why we make him make a shvua is because we don't want people to start buying things off the back of a truck. We don't want people to buy, stolen, dodgy goods. And if, because if people stop buying these things, there's not a market for thieves, and then people will stop stealing. In other words, so we're trying to create this difficulty. Now, what's interesting on the flip side is it's one of my notes I saw on the side of Gemara, I think from last time I learned this, is that why does he have to pay at all? If it's his, he doesn't have miayish, why can't he just get his item back and not have paying back at all? And that's mipnei because takanat hashuk. That is, we're concerned if that wouldn't be the scenario. Meaning, I bought something in the market, someone comes later and says, oh, by the way, that was stolen from me, give it back, and I had to give it back without it being compensated. People would not buy from the secondhand market. They wouldn't buy things. They'd be very, very cautious of buying things, thinking that when I buy things, I might be throwing my money away. So it's an interesting balance here. On the one hand, we say, okay, the person, the purchaser, this our Levi, can get paid back, but we still put a shvu on top of him to so he's a little bit more discerning where he's buying things from. Okay, that's the balance, if you like, the balance we're striking. Okay, fine. Now, Gemara says, Rabbi Shua ben Levi Omar, v'hu sheyatzal lo shem gneva shenignevu sfarav. The first point is it can't just be, oh, we know that Reuven had his house robbed. It has to be particularly that an item that we know his, in this case it's just Sfarim, or it's Sefer, or a scroll, or in our case, the example you use, we know that his watch was stolen. It was known that his watch was stolen, and he said, that's my watch. It has to be very specific, the knowledge. Furthermore, Rav Amar Tzrich Lavi Raya Shelani Mor Boto HaLaila, meaning that prior, if you like, Blanto HaLaila, I'll just show you here, Sheatzah Lo Shem Gneva, in other words, we have to know that it was with him on the night that he said it was stolen. I mean, he can't claim it was stolen and we don't know if it was in his possession because he may have sold it, that day and then claimed, oh, it was stolen. In other words, the knowledge that it was stolen has to be very concrete as a basis from which we can say, oh, now he can take it back from the purchaser. Meaning, if our levy says, I bought it from such and such individual, and it wasn't a known thief, it was just a respectable secondhand store, then he's believed. What do you mean he's believed? He doesn't have to return it. He doesn't return it at all. However, after Uvda Kamei Rav Nasa Velo Kabil, and that was such an incident where, again, our levy in our story says, I bought it from such an individual, and he wasn't believed. And he had to return it. So Ma Palig is cholik on our case that we said it depends what the claim is where he purchased it from. So Amar say Amar Bar Nash Da'akin. Hava begin ken lo kabil. In other words, the person he said he purchased it from was an incredibly poor individual that wouldn't have the means to have such an item. So therefore, it wasn't believable to say, oh, I bought it from this person, it's fine. So that's why we say that in that way, it wasn't a good enough claim in that case. Okay, let's now learn the next mission. It's a halacha dalet. Zeba b'chavit Yerushalayim v'zeba b'kadosh dvash. Let's say two people carrying, one's carrying wine, one's carrying honey. Nista chavito shel dvash, and the barrel of honey cracked. The shafach zeh yenov, and what happened was the honey is more valuable in this situation. So the person who had the wine is the only one who had a good intact kli. So he thinks, you know what I'm going to do? Nebuch, this guy's stock was worth much more than me. I'm going to pour my wine out, and I'll use it to salvage all his honey. Now we say, can he be compensated for the wine that he lost? The Mishnah says, no, he voluntarily did that. Ein lo ela scharo. All he gets is the fee for, I don't know, renting a barrel and the efforts he helped in and his work fees. He can't get fully compensated. Who asked him to pour it out? Aval im, sorry, not sorry, im amarlo, if he says, atzilat shecha v'atan noten, if however he stipulate from the outset, said, listen, your wine is worth twice as much as, sorry, your honey is worth twice as much as wine. I'll pour it out on condition to save your thing, on condition you compensate me. In that situation, they've made a business arrangement, so it's not a problem. That's why that was chayv l'ten lo. The Gemara now says, zeba chavit tel v'shel yayin. Now, tani shtayim b'mimbar, there are two people in a desert. B'yad zeh chavit mayim, one has a barrel of water. V'ubazeh, b'yad zeh chavit shel dvash. Another one has a barrel of honey. Nista chavit mayim, the barrel of water starts cracking. Now that's a different situation now. In the city, water is probably a lot cheaper, but in the desert, it's vital to have your water. So it says, t'nai beitin. The t'nai beitin is shishpoch ze dvasho. The person with the honey has to pour it out. V'yatzil et meimav, and save the water. Shehamayim mechayeh b'midbar v'lo advash. Because again, it's necessity in the desert, in that situation, to have water. Now, it's a lot of discussion what the Tanai Beit Din is. The Tanai Beit Din seems to be that even, it sounds like even if they make an arrangement, by the way, Chazon Yecheskel says, normally, wherever you make an arrangement, you have to pay the money back. Okay? So we don't say, I think the way the Chazon Yecheskel says, it's like a side point, really, sort of tangential to the Sugya. At least the way he explains it, is that you don't have to go to the midbar to pay him back. You can pay him back in the city. That's kind of the Tanai Beit Din. Whatever. Let's continue. The Gemara says, Tani po'el va'ani sha'alu l'rosh ha'ilan. Let's say you've got a po'el, a worker who's going to the top of the tree to do work, or an ani that went up to there to get his payout. Okay? We say, sha'alu l'rosh ha'ilan, v'shivran socha, and he breaks branches when he's out there. B'zman if it's the way of, if it's the practice to climb those trees in that way, Bilan, then Peturim, he doesn't have to pay because that's considered the normal way, and the branches broke. However, if it's not the practice to climb such trees, then it'd be chayven to pay. Next, this is halacha. Hey, shataf nar chamorov v'chamor chaveiro. Let's say there were people going and they're walking along, and the two donkeys got swept away by a river. Shelo, his own donkey is worth a maneh. The shechaveiro was a prized donkey, was worth matayim, double as much. What he thinks is, you know what, I'm going to help my friend out. He says, I'm going to leave mine. Everyone goes and saves his friends. Can he be compensated for his full dock, for his donkey? It's very much like the previous Mishnah. All he can be compensated for is his time. That's it. If he says, they've said, look, this really needs two people. I'll abandon mine and help you as long as you compensate me. Well, that's a business arrangement. Then, okay, Marina continues. Tani hiniach shelo latzi lechavro va'ala shel chavro ma'aleya ein nizkak lo klum. What happens though if he left, he's abandoned his own, and in the end, the more expensive donkey made its own way out. So he says ein nizkak lo klum. He doesn't pay him anything. Now, nizkak lo klum is interesting because we're not really sure which case he's talking about. Is this talking about when they stipulated the condition, so he doesn't pay him for his loss? Which is, I think, the way the Panim Moshe understand it, or it sounds like from Maraful, it's the other way around. It's talking about just being compensated for his time. Just losing everything in any way. However, Elan, what if Heniach Shelo? What if he did stipulate? Everyone understands now it's stipulated. Latzilet Chavero. Ve'ala Shelo Me'elav. And his own donkey seemed to miraculously make its way out. What do we say? Maudiema Lo nikyashti. Do we say that I fully gave up hope of retrieving my own donkey? So you need to compensate me for that because it's considered a full loss. And now that my donkeys miraculously came out, okay, so I was zoche from hefker, but you still need to compensate me. Do we say that? An interesting case. The Gemara says nishamani. We can learn from the following. Shataf naor chamoro. If the river came and swept away his own donkey. Ve'atzaveach. But Omer says he says no. Lo nityashti. No nityashti. So in a crazy river come along, and even if the owner is standing by the bank saying, I didn't give up hope, I didn't give up hope. It's Reb Shimon Lakish says, according to Reb Shimon Resh Lakish, he says, as long as he's shouting, he hasn't given up hope. So if someone saves it, he has to return it. Fine. However, Reb Yochanan says, Chazaka miyayeshu. He says, he can be shouting all he's like, but the facts on the ground is this tidal wave or this crazy flash flood that's taking his donkey. He can shout all he's like. He's miyayesh. It's given up. How do we fold this back to our case? We fold them in our case when he says, okay, I'll help you, like, I'll abandon mine and I'll help you to save your donkey. Mashmo, and somehow his donkey miraculously escapes this flash flood. Then we say that he had given up full yush, and according to the way it's explained, he could be compensated for the fact that he gave up his care, if you like, of his own donkey. And like they save the expensive one, and it can be paid back. Despite the fact he might run later on and pick up that donkey, that stray donkey, his own one, which is an interesting case. Is that prophetic? But yeah, okay, I said it. Right, take it from the next halacha next year.
Go so on. There's a machlokas about the definition of yeyush.
Yeah, in other words, that's like it's interesting to bring it here because we don't deal with it solidly enough in the sugya. But in terms of if the context is so overwhelming, does the fact that he's shouting saying lomi ashlamish, does that have any meaning to it?
Right.
That's basically at a high level, yeah.
Shkoyach.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.